Mino Lion Media presents Pregnancy Pearls. Meet Dr. Nicole Plenty, a double board certified OBGYN and high risk pregnancy expert. She's brilliant, well researched, and feisty. Growing tired of seeing complications of pregnancy that could have been prevented, she wanted a way to empower women through knowledge. Because as she says, all doctors aren't created equal. This quest to educate women birthed this podcast, Pregnancy Pearls with Dr. Plenty.
Thanks for listening to Pregnancy Pearls Podcast with me, Dr. Nicole Plenty. Y'all, I officially have a real life little boy. You know how like Pinocchio wanted to be a little boy, like, but he had a wooden nose and then he all of a sudden became a little boy. Like, that's what I think just happened to Harrison. So he's just not a baby anymore, you guys. He doesn't even look like a toddler. So if you've been listening for a while, you know that I have a son named Harrison. He just turned the big 4 years old over the weekend. With that, he got a big boy haircut. Now, no, we did not wait to give him a big chop for 4 years. Okay. So previously he had a haircut that was similar to Cody on Cocomelon, and that was by his request. But now he has a low cut, even nicely lined haircut. And he looks like a boy that's like between the ages of 6 and 8, as opposed to 4 years old. So I'll definitely post pictures of my big boy as he celebrated his 4th birthday. Now, to celebrate his birthday, we had a party at one of those trampoline parks. And yeah, my big butt jumped on the trampoline. Yes, I did. I'm young at heart, but this old former elderly gravida, ooh, y'all, I felt it in my joints the next morning. So the trampoline park is obviously not for the young at heart. It is only for the young. All right. So now that the pandemic has been checked off and marked as officially over by the government, although my little sister just had her 4th bout of COVID-19 2 weeks ago, a lot of hospitals are bringing back some former mandatory policies. So apparently, during the pandemic, you didn't have to have basic life support certification or advanced cardiac life support certification. They just trusted you. But now all of a sudden we have to be all up to date. And I'm serious. Like, I literally got an email today that was like, oh, the pandemic is over. So now you need to get all your stuff recertified in less than a month. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, I got the email today and they're like, by July 1st, you need to be recertified on all of these things that we didn't have any opportunities for you to keep up to date with during the pandemic. Yeah. So everything's coming back full circle, you guys. So things that we didn't do before or we let pass before during the pandemic, we're not letting slide anymore. So one thing that's coming back is drug testing. Yeah, I know that people are like, they drug test people during pregnancy? Yeah. Now, we all know why people get drug tested during pregnancy, right? It's to see if the baby has been exposed to drugs, and if so, to allow for close monitoring of the symptoms of withdrawal and long-term complications that can happen due to certain drugs. Now, that's really depending on the drug. Now, missing withdrawal in a baby can be life-threatening, particularly since withdrawal symptoms oftentimes are evidenced not until 3 to 5 days after life. So if you deliver vaginally, that's the day after the baby is already at home. So it's really a measure to protect the baby. Like, hey, should this baby go home? Right? But some hospitals have different protocols and policies about when someone needs to be drug tested, meaning does it happen at the beginning of the pregnancy, at the first prenatal visit, the middle or the end of pregnancy, or 2 or more periods during the pregnancy? They also differ on who gets tested. Is it just people that have a high suspicion for drugs or everybody? And how is the drug test performed? Is it performed on just you? Is it performed on the baby? Is it performed on the baby only if you're positive? So what are the protocols, right? And you would think you would be notified that you're going to get a drug test, right? Mm-mm. Depending on the state, not all the time. So depending on the state and the hospital policy, declining a drug test could be an opt-out situation only. So by default, consenting to care in the hospital means you're consenting to blood draws, which can mean that you're consenting to a drug test. So just find that out. Now, if you do have informed consent, meaning somebody has counseled you about the option and you said no, you refuse drug testing, then newborn drug testing is required in most states. And that can measure repeated drug use during pregnancy, even if the substance use was stopped 4 to 5 months before you deliver. Okay. I say all this to say, I don't want you to be surprised when you get drug tested. Make sure you know your hospital's policies. Now, I know that none of my patients are really doing drugs, but let's say you happen to take some pain medicine. Now, you may test positive for opioids, okay? Because they specifically test for prescription pain medicine. So those old pain pills that you have in your closet that you're like, oh, I'm only going to use this if I absolutely need it. Yeah, they can screen for those, y'all. Make sure you know the policies in place. Now, reporting a positive drug test is not always mandatory. That depends on the person doing the testing, the doctor, and the laws that are in place in the state that you're in. Now, what gets reported really depends on the level of suspected abuse, right? Now, on the contrary, for most states, if the newborn screens positive, then that usually is always reported, okay? Because they have to follow those babies. And yes, if the baby's drug screen is positive, then state authorities or CPS could get involved, and that could be an issue with custody, okay? Now, addiction treatment providers do not usually report opioid drug screens while pregnant if the patient is on a treatment program, okay? Because you're doing the right thing. You're getting the treatment. But if you're not getting the treatment, do know that methadone, Suboxone, and other opioids are included in the drug screen. Some people's drug screen also have alcohol in it. Most people's drug screens don't, and most do not consider alcohol a reportable positive screen. If you're positive, the next thing that will happen is that your newborn will be screened. And your newborn can be screened in a couple of ways. They can be screened through the urine. They can be screened through an umbilical cord sample or through the meconium. And your meconium is just that first bowel movement that a baby has after delivery. Now, some people's babies have passed a bowel movement inside, and we call that thick meconium or meconium visualized in the amniotic fluid at the time of delivery. So we rupture, this brown stuff come out. We rupture, there's green stuff come out. That's meconium, okay? Or the baby's already had a bowel movement inside. So if the baby has not, that first stool, they could do testing on for drugs. Now, if they test the urine, this is a hard way. Usually it's easier to test this in a boy because what they do is they put like a little clear plastic bag over the genitalia. So it's like over the genitalia and all the way around the butt of the baby. It's almost like wearing a loose clear diaper and they just leave it there. They like secure it around the baby until the baby urinates. Okay. And then once they do, they can send that off to the lab. And that's the quickest way to get a result. The typical turnaround for a drug screen is less than 4 hours, okay? But obviously, you only have a short window to do that because you want to make sure you're catching the first urine. And drug concentrations in the urine of the baby, if the mom exposed the baby to drugs, would be a moderately high concentration, okay? Now, they can also get it from the umbilical cord. So whenever the placenta is removed, then first of all, they can do it a couple ways. So if they do a cord segment, meaning once the baby is out, we clamp the cord and cut the cord. They can actually cut a segment of those cords. So doubly clamp the cord and excise a segment. The nurse can then withdraw blood for a cord blood sample to see how oxygenated the baby's blood is. But they can also draw that blood to make sure that the drug test has been performed on that. Now, this typically takes a longer time. It takes 1 to 2 days for this result to come back. And so that's why, although inconvenient, the urine is preferred if they have a higher suspicion so they can get a result quicker. Okay. Now, in the umbilical cord, of course, the drug levels are going to be low because the amount that reaches the baby, even if you do, depending on what kind of drugs you do and the frequency, the concentration of the drug is going to be low. And then meconium has a very high concentration of the drug. It's sort of kind of easy because you're just waiting on the stool and the baby's bound to have a bowel movement in the first 24 hours. but it could take up to 2 days. And so that's why the turnaround time for meconium testing of drugs is 12 hours to 2 days, because you got to wait for the baby to have the first bowel movement. And that's not abnormal until you've reached 2 days. Okay. All right. So now that you know a little bit more about drug testing, let's go to some cases.
Our first case is a 26-year-old who is 2 days postpartum. She had a healthy baby girl, but her baby's umbilical cord blood test was positive for both marijuana and amphetamines. She adamantly denies a history of recent drug use. You were consulted as an expert to see if other drugs could cause the screen to be positive.
There are some antihypertensives that had some cross-reactivity with amphetamines, okay? Of course, some stimulants have amphetamines in them. And if you're treated for ADHD, there are some drugs like Ritalin, that's an amphetamine. So if you're on a prescription for ADHD or another stimulant, that can also have cross-reactivity and can sometimes cause your amphetamine test to be positive. But marijuana and amphetamines? Nope. Even if you took prescription drugs, which are an opioid. So marijuana is just an opioid, right? Marijuana is an opioid. It's going to cause you, well, not really an opioid. Marijuana is another relaxant, okay? It used to be thought that marijuana and opioids acted alike in terms of relaxation, but now we know that that is not the case, okay? They are completely different drugs. They act completely differently. And marijuana is distinctly different on a drug test from opioids. So you can't even say it's from prescription. If you do CBD gummies, you know, it's not the THC component that's going to be tested. So those gummies shouldn't turn this marijuana test positive. Okay. But again, you shouldn't be doing those gummies in pregnancy anyway. Okay. As a culprit. So I don't know of anything that can turn both of these tests positive unless you did some type of marijuana or THC derivative in addition to an amphetamine or some stimulant that had amphetamines in it. But know that if those are positive, those metabolites, or as your body breaks them down, can cross the placenta and they can, you know, have the baby exposed. So because of this, I would still recommend screening for the child for withdrawal symptoms from each one of these types of drugs. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that you use drugs recently. Sometimes for the cord blood, that can be positive. I mean, for a really long time. Let's say you used to do drugs earlier in the pregnancy and you stopped. Well, the umbilical cord levels can still be positive for months. So it could have been that it's not a new thing, it's an old thing. And if you're talking about, hey, is this something that is going to be harmful to my baby? If it's old, then the likelihood that your baby's going to have withdrawal symptoms after delivery is very, very, very slim. So it can't cause too much harm. But you need to have a come to Jesus with yourself. When was the last time you used amphetamines or marijuana? Has it been within the 2-week period? Because if so, that's recent to us. There will be more of an investigation. The nurses and care team, physicians, will ask more questions about what's prescribed to you and what's not. And we will go through all of your medicines to see if there's a stimulant that could act like an amphetamine that you're on. And if you're on any marijuana derivatives. We would need to know that so we can know how to proceed. But in my expert opinion, the only way that both of those are positive is if we are doing some type of drugs, meaning medications, two different types, because we usually don't mix a stimulant and a depressant. Marijuana causes your body to relax. Amphetamines cause your body to rev up. So we usually don't mix the two of those together. So I would need to go through all your medicines to see if it could have been one of the medicines. Or we need to have a come to Jesus with you and say, don't lie to us. If you've done these this pregnancy, we need to know about it. We're not here to judge you. We just need to know how the baby should be monitored afterwards. The case pearl for this case is umbilical cord sampling can detect drugs used for weeks or months even prior to delivery. All right, medical intern, what's our second case?
This is an email question and it says, Dr. Plenty, I'm currently 32 weeks pregnant with my second child. My OBGYN mentioned that I would have to do a drug test in my third trimester. I am taking Subutex for maintenance therapy due to my former heroin use years ago. However, when I got pregnant, my primary care physician refused to prescribe it. So I've been purchasing it from friends and don't have a prescription. What will happen if I test positive on my drug screen without a prescription?
So they will assume that you are abusing this prescription medicine. Okay. And Subutex is usually not one that people just blatantly abuse like that, right? Because Subutex is an opioid. It doesn't cause you to get high, right? It usually is enough to sustain you to cause you not to withdraw, but it doesn't have the same euphoric effect that Norco or Percocet or heroin would have, which give you that surge of a rush of high, and then you get your lows. Subutex is just plateau. You don't get the high. And so it's not really a commonly abused drug because of that. But you do have a lot of people that have actually been kicked out of maintenance therapy, or they can't get continuity within the maintenance therapy. And so they buy it off the street to try to avoid overdosing or going back on heroin or prescription pain medicines. I would encourage you to do a couple things. One, go ahead and admit to your OBGYN, hey, listen, I used to be on maintenance therapy. My primary care provider used to fill it. They refused because they're not comfortable prescribing in pregnancy. So I've been trying to get it how I can. Is there a program you can refer me to? Okay. That is the safest way for you to proceed and not have to get tested and reported for abusing substances. You have to get in a program so that your prescriptions can be continued. So what happens if you don't? Well, then you're reported. Then the baby has to stay 3 to 5 days after delivery to be monitored for signs of withdrawal. And you will likely have your case reported to CPS, okay, Child Protective Services. So to avoid that, I'm telling you, go ahead, and honesty is the best, okay? Go ahead, when your next appointment, talk to your OBGYN, or you can send your OBGYN a message if you have access to an electronic health system. Send them a message and say, hey, listen, I really need to talk to you about maintenance therapy. I used to be prescribed this. Can you refer me to somebody who's comfortable prescribing this so that I don't have to keep on buying these products off the street? And listen, your provider will be more than happy to get you into somebody. Maintenance therapy is not something we want to encourage you to stop during the pregnancy, because then you can have signs of withdrawal. People that withdraw in pregnancy have a really high chance of miscarriage. So we definitely don't want that to happen. So I would recommend getting on a program. That way you have readily access to Subutex whenever you need it. And we don't have to worry about you getting reported or CPS getting involved, because now you're on a program and you're doing the right thing. You've been managed. So that would be my word of advice for you. All right, medical intern, do we have any more email cases or questions?
This is an email question. It says, Dr. Plenty, I had a motor vehicle accident 2 years ago and have been on Narco for chronic pain ever since. I have been told that now that I am 10 weeks pregnant, this is not safe for me to take. However, I do not want to go on a treatment program because I have real pain. Will my OBGYN force me to go into a treatment facility?
So the short answer is no. Nobody can force you to go in a treatment facility. And I would even argue further that you have to be ready to be in a treatment facility. And most people that are on maintenance therapy, they're not in a facility. It's a program. So you go home every night to your significant other and your children. You don't have to be in like a 30-day rehab program. The time to wean yourself off of this is not now. Like, so we would never take you off of Norco or your pain medicines and wean you off cold turkey during the pregnancy. But we will want you to be ready to say, I'm not going to abuse Norco anymore. And I will start to take something that's a little longer acting so that I won't have the euphoric high. Okay. And I'm not saying that you are trying to abuse it. Right. But if you have chronic pain for 2 years and you don't want to get off of it, just by definition, it's considered overuse. So it's a substance use disorder. At this point, you need to be managed by somebody that does chronic pain management. So I would send you to a person that does chronic pain management, like a physical medicine rehabilitation physician, that can, one, help you get physical therapy, even during the pregnancy. Number two, talk to you about some alternative drugs as opposed to continue to take Norco. Number three, if you decide you don't want to be on a maintenance therapy and you do want to continue Norco, they would have you sign a pain contract so that you only took a certain amount in a certain time period so that they know that you're not abusing the Norco. Next, they would also talk to you about switching to a longer acting drug like Subutex or Suboxone, or methadone. Methadone is still first line in pregnancy, so that you don't have signs of withdrawal. The goal here is to not have signs of withdrawal. So you're either going to continue the Norco and sign a pain contract, which limits the amount that you can have each month, or switch over to maintenance therapy where they put you on the lowest effective dose of the medicine. Now, mind you, pregnancy has a dilutional effect. Blood volume doubles in pregnancy by 6 weeks. So if you are somebody that was on Norco and now Norco is not working, some people wouldn't feel comfortable increasing that dosage during the pregnancy. So it's whatever you agreed on in the pain contract. Same thing with Subutex. They will start you on Subutex, but you might have to be adjusted throughout the pregnancy because of that dilutional effect, because blood volume has doubled. So you put on the lowest effective dose of whatever you're on to prevent opioid withdrawal. You should not withdraw in pregnancy. It's not the time to go in an inpatient facility to completely detox. This is not the time. It's maintaining you, and you have to be ready to start. If not, yeah, they will continue on Norco just with a pain contract. But really think about, what do you want to do long term? Are you ready to get off of these pain medicine for your baby? And Subutex does provide some pain control. It's just missing the euphoric high. So if you're ready to be on a medicine that helps with your pain, but doesn't give you the high feeling, then I would recommend that over a pain contract with Norco. And you may be on Subutex for years and nobody will blame you. Nobody will bat an eye. Nobody will report you to CPS. It's just that this is the safer thing to avoid overdosing, because you don't get that euphoric high. It makes you a little bit more stable for a longer period of time if you're on a longer acting medicine like Subutex as opposed to Norco. But the question you had was, will my OBGYN force me to go to a treatment facility? The short answer is no. But just note that there are some laws, such as laws in Florida and Kentucky and Ohio, that do involuntary commitment for substance abuse. So we do want to make sure that you have documentation for one of the two of those, either Norco or your long acting maintenance therapy with methadone or Subutex or Suboxone, so that this is not something that's reported and you don't have to worry about potentially losing custody of your child. All right, medical intern, is that all the emailed questions and cases? And she's shaking her head yes. So thank you guys so much for listening to Pregnancy Pearls podcast. I hope that you learn more about drug testing in pregnancy. If you enjoy the show, make sure to share with your friends, rate, and comment. If you or someone you know has had a pregnancy complication or unique pregnancy situation, let me know about it. Email me at pregnancypearls@gmail.com to hear your topic or case discussed on one of our podcast episodes. Also, remember to follow me on Instagram at pregnancy_pearls and Facebook at Pregnancy Pearls. You can also feel free to check out more on the YouTube channel, which last week I told y'all I'm getting thin, so I'm going to come back with this YouTube channel snatched on y'all. You can also catch up on the website, which is Dr. Nicole Plenty. You'll get some free downloadables there. And for goodness sake, please catch up on the podcast. It's good, y'all. I can't even lie. It's sort of kind of good. Catch up on the podcast episodes when you can. In closing, remember to advocate for yourself. You are your biggest advocate, and no one knows what's going on with your body except for you. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Pregnancy Pearls is hosted by Dr. Nicole Lee Plenty. Produced by Nicole Plenty and Janine Brunson Johnson. Executive producer Ken Johnson. Find Pregnancy Pearls on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe and rate. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice for diagnosis or treatment of individual medical conditions. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with specific questions regarding a medical condition. Pregnancy Pearls is a Mean Old Lion Media production.